って。
Hey guys, welcome to the Freelance Podcast. I am your host, RJ McCollum, and fellow freelancer. So today's episode is going to be kind of a season-ending episode or season finale-ending episode. If you are a listener of the podcast and have been for a little bit, then you know that I've kind of gone a stint and then taken a break and then another stint, taken a break. And this is, I guess you could say, the third stint or third season of the show. And this is going to be kind of the season finale. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Why that's coming about at this point in time and just kind of some what I think are important things for other freelancers. Before I get into that, however, I wanted to take a minute and just answer a question that I got via email earlier this week. This question comes from Rachel all the way from Australia. So that is super cool. Rachel, if you're listening, thanks for taking the time to send in a question. Kind of crazy that I'm just this one person sitting at his desk in Oklahoma and somebody from Australia is listening and getting something from what I'm saying. So that's pretty cool. Regardless though, here is Rachel's question. So she says, I'm a freelance writer based in Australia and relatively new to freelancing. I hold down a busy part-time job and manage my freelancing around work and family commitments. My question has to do with upselling and cross-selling to existing clients. I wondered if you have any suggestions for doing this in a way that doesn't seem pushy. I'm lucky to have a great regular client who seems to love my work and would like to take the opportunity to pitch other projects to him in a way that doesn't negatively impact our existing relationship. Rachel, I think this is a great question, and it's good that even though you're, what you say, relatively new to freelancing, that you're already thinking about this. A lot of times, and you hear me talk about this on the show, a lot of times, you know, freelancers, we trade our time and our services for money. And it's usually how much work we have will dictate how much money we can make. So naturally, a good way for a freelancer to try to make more money without necessarily just finding more clients is to take their existing clients and find new ways to serve them and help them out, essentially what Rachel calls cross-selling or upselling. And you know, that allows us to do more work, strengthen relationships, and ultimately make more money. So while I'm not going to spend the whole podcast talking about this particular thing, I do want to give you, Rachel, and the listeners a couple tips on doing this. At the end of the day, I think the best way to approach this is when you kind of align yourself with your client's goals. When your relationship is based on those goals, you know, client reached out to you because they want to start ranking better for a particular keyword. And maybe, Rachel, that's what you were doing and helping them write some copy and maybe some blog posts in order to do that. Now, if you can kind of peel back the layers, so to speak, and you can figure out why they want to rank better for that particular keyword, or, you know, if you can figure out what their why is, then their goal becomes very clear to you. And when you know what their end goal is, you being the expert at what you do, you're able to offer different paths or a larger path, I guess you could say, multiple ways to get to that goal. So I know that wasn't a lot of specifics to the writing, but to me, what I found in being able to help or upsell existing clients is not necessarily going the straight, I also can do this. Do you want to, you know, pay for it or not? Because that kind of gets into that pushy, salesy type thing. Although I have done that before. I mean, just an example, you know, when I first started doing WordPress and then when I first started doing responsive designs, those came along with per project price changes. I raised my rates when I acquired those skills and essentially offered a new skill set to them and, you know, pretty much said, I can do this. And if you want to do this, it costs X amount of dollars. And of course, gave the benefits for it. That's what you always want to do anytime you're pitching or you're selling or upselling, is you always want to explain your why and how that could benefit them, because you don't want to just be that salesman like, hey, this is a great, you know, used car, you should buy it, you know, zero down, blah, blah, blah. At the end of this, when it comes to upselling, cross-selling your clients, you have to do a couple things. You have to gauge the relationship. In Rachel's case, it sounds like she has a good relationship with a particular client and she doesn't want to ruin that. So that's good that you're aware of that. You want to gauge the relationship and you want to see how open they might be to other services. If you can peel back those layers and you can get to their goal, or you understand what they're trying to achieve in the end, it becomes a lot less selling and more of a suggestion. You know, just like when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, you have the flu. It doesn't necessarily, like, you trust what he or she is going to tell you next. Like, you should rest and you should drink plenty of liquids and here's a prescription for Tamiflu. And, you know, the doctor makes these recommendations on what you should do because he or she knows that your end goal is to not be sick with the flu anymore. And you're going to trust the doctor because they're the expert. So if you know that end goal, you become the expert recommending ways for them to do that, get to that goal, instead of just out of the blue, hey, you know, I also do this. Are you interested? That can work at times, but if you can align it with the customer's goals, it puts you in a much better place to upsell or cross-sell or essentially do more for any sort of existing client. So Rachel, again, thank you for taking the time to send in the question. I hope this helped. If any of you guys have questions, even though the podcast will be kind of on a little bit of a break here, always feel free to send those in. rj@rjmccollum.com. You can go to my website, rjmccollum.com. Lots of people just click on the contact button and fill out the form. But I appreciate all the questions and try to answer them as best I can, either return via email or, in this case, talking about it on the podcast. All right, so let's get into what it is that I wanted to talk about today. And that's really kind of, sometimes you have to go back to the basics. So what do I mean by that? As a freelancer, as somebody who is, I guess, in the internet culture, your profession is based on a digital service you provide, you know, developers, designers, writers, copywriters, brand engineers, you know, whatever you want to say, essentially those who freelance and work on the internet. There is a lot of noise on the internet, and, you know, this podcast could even be part of it, but we get bombarded so many times, and just in general, especially when you're starting out, there's so many people that you can look up to or that you can find that have, in your mind, this level of success that you automatically compare yourself to, and over time, even as you get better with your skills, even as you get more confident, even as you gain certain levels of success in your freelancing career, there's always that thing that you're still reaching for, right? We never feel done. I'm sure that some of you listening to this, and, you know, I talk about my annual income and money that I make and stuff like that. I'm sure that there's some of you out there that were like, oh yeah, you know, that's pretty cool. I'd like to be at that level. And, you know, to a certain extent, you may look to me as this sounds really cheesy, but I don't mean it like this, but there are certain people that may look to me like, oh, he's reached a certain level of success. Or you look up to me like I look up to other people. And that's good to have kind of good to have somebody to look to, good to consider them a mentor, even if it's a one-way relationship where you're really just kind of learning from them. But that can be damaging a little bit too. I mean, it can be tough because that constant comparison, and you're seeing what other people are doing. And especially nowadays, I mean, this past year, 2015, and then now even more in 2016, maybe it's just the circles that I run into, but the term hustle, I mean, if you're not working till you're dead, then, you know, you're doing something wrong. And there's nothing wrong with working hard and doing this, but what happens is we don't necessarily take this advice, or we don't necessarily look at the people that we do look up to, and we don't add the reality check of our own lives to that. All we see is this person is successful and they're doing this. Why can't I do that? Why am I not doing that? And then you start to feel guilty. Why am I not putting out a blog post every day? Why do I not put out a podcast every week? How come I'm not on Snapchat? How all these different things that people are saying do, because there's all this noise, right? You have to always check that against how you are, how you feel, what you consider important as a person, what you want to be, the way you want to be viewed as a professional, as a freelancer. All that stuff has to go through a personal filter. And it's hard to do that, especially when you're starting out, because you want to be successful. You want to find joy and happiness and be content in the work that you do. And so we look to these others who are successful. And, you know, we have to learn from them and we have to do the work and implement things in order to reach that level of success. What I'm saying is that that filter, that personal filter is very important. So for me personally, I am kind of taking this summer, it's almost it's going to be a palate cleanser, so to speak. I'm taking this summer and I'm not going to worry about putting out a podcast. I'm not going to worry about blog posts. I'm not going to worry about launching a product or anything like that. What I'm going to work about, what I'm going to worry about and what I'm going to put my focus in is work. I'm going to strip everything away. All these things that are really noise to me. I've unfollowed a bunch of people on Twitter that are really just noise. They're not really providing a lot of value. I have deleted a bunch of apps off of my phone. I've gone through and unsubscribed to a bunch of email newsletters and stuff like this. All this stuff that was really noise, that really when that ding went off on my phone or my computer, I just knew, okay, I don't need that. I'm not going to read that article. I'm not going to dive deep there. Unsubscribe. All of that so I can kind of get back to the beginning, back to the basics, back to my foundation as a freelancer, as the things that make me happy. Why do I do what I do? I'm a builder. I enjoy building things. That's why I'm a developer. That's what I'm doing this summer, is I'm going to spend time, do the work. I am going to work on Hector. Hector is my project management app that I launched last year for freelancers. You can find that at hectorapp.com, in sweet plug right there. I am going to be working on Hector, but it's going to be coming from a place of, I want to get back to building and learning, which Hector is allowing me to do, instead of, I want to launch this and you know, I need to figure out what my churn rate's going to be and get my monthly recurring revenue all set up and tracked and all this different things. It's coming from a place of excitement to go back to the basics of what it is that I enjoy doing. That's learning, that's pushing myself, that's building, instead of doing it from a place of, well, if you don't have a product out there, then you're nothing. You know, I see all these people that I look up to and they launch all these products and have these, you know, tens of thousand dollar launches. And here I am, you know, I launched a course last year and, you know, I haven't made $1,000 for, oh, actually maybe a little over $1,000, but still, like, it's those comparisons. It's those not, it's looking at other people and not filtering through my personal filter that is causing me to have done things for a particular outcome instead of what I would consider the right way of doing it. I'll be honest, when I launched the course, I knew the information in my course would be helpful to somebody that wanted to make a living as a WordPress developer. And I still believe that the information that I put in that course would be very helpful for somebody wanting to do that. However, when I launched the course, I was just concerned with sales. I just wanted to see the sales roll in. That's really all I cared about. And that's why I don't sell a ton of my course. You know, I didn't do a lot of buildup. I got really spammy when I launched it. And kind of the same thing with Hector. I got really excited because it was this new thing and I was able to do something that I hadn't done before. But then it shifted out of that excitement and that initial reason for me doing something. And it became, oh, I got to write blog posts so people to do. It became all these things that others were telling me to do if I wanted to be successful. and I wasn't putting it through my personal filter. I guess I came into this episode ready to call it back to basics, and it may still end up back to basics, but maybe personal filter is what it should be. Regardless of what your skill set is as a freelancer, regardless of what your goals are as a freelancer, the people that you look up to, the blogs that you read, the podcasts that you listen to, this one included, of course, all the information that is coming to you, and I'm sure there's a lot, I recommend that you take a moment, and you can't do this for every blog, every RSS feed, every podcast, all these different things. You can't do it for everything, but really consider, is this giving value? Is this giving value to me, or is it making me feel guilty because I'm sitting on my ass and I'm not doing anything? I had to stop watching Gary Vee, Gary Vaynerchuk, super popular, you know, entrepreneur, stuff like that. I had to stop watching him because he made me feel guilty. And at the end of the day, I think my end goal is different than Gary's, and that's nothing against, Gary Vee. I mean, I think that he's a shining light in this sea of just kind of mediocrity that people are out there. So I think it's great. But for me personally, you know, I had to go through this stuff and kind of curate my list and prune it a little bit to make sure that the stuff coming through to me was helping instead of hurting. That may sound weird because you may think of all the things that you're subscribed to and you may be like, well, all this is good information, but be honest with yourself. There's probably some stuff that makes you feel guilty, makes you feel bad because you're not doing something, or makes you feel dumb. So think about that stuff, prune it back, always be able to come back to your base, to that foundation. If you don't have a good foundation, I mean, think of a home, right? So the easiest analogy here is a home. And if you think of a house, if the foundation isn't strong, it's not level, then what's going to happen is that as you build on top of that, as the house gets built, as you know, the framing gets up and then drywall and all these things happen, right? If the foundation is not strong, it just will lead to issues. Now, these issues could be catastrophic all at once. You know, if it's not level, the house could just fall over, right? But it could be something that just very simple. Maybe the foundation has air pockets in it, right? So it's not very solid. That could cause over time things shifting, maybe some cracks, things that take some time to happen, but ultimately end with something bad happening. And I think that's the way to think about what you're allowing to come in and what you're allowing to affect how you feel and what you do as a freelancer. It may be minimal, but if something is causing anxiousness or anything like that, maybe you need to put that thing on pause. Get back to the foundation of why it is that you do things. I love to build things. That's why I'm a developer. I enjoy the business aspect of freelancing and working for myself, and that's why I push to do just that. That's why I made the jump a couple years back and made the jump to full-time freelancing. That's what I enjoy. I love my situation. I need to make sure that I just kind of strip some things away that I've let pile up in the attic, so to speak. So do that. do that for yourself coming into this summer. You know, we all like to think and our lives move in seasons. And what better time than summer and what summer stands for when you get that break from school, the weather is nice, you know, all these different things that are associated with summers. What better time to kind of do a little, you know, put your freelancing career on a diet or new exercise regimen and, you know, go back to the basics. Get back to the basics of why you do what you do. Maybe, you know, stop some of the signal, the noise that is coming into your life, and focus. And just do it for a 2-3 month stint and see what happens. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be focusing on client work. I'm not going to carry around any guilt about getting a podcast out or blog post or this or that. I'm going to focus on my client work, because I got a ton of it, and I need to get through all of that. I need to get back to the excitement that is working on Hector for me and just make improvements because I want to, because it's something that I want to use. So I leave you with that. This is going to be the end of season 3 for the Freelance Podcast. I will say that we will definitely be back with a season 4, and it'll probably be at the end of summer. So don't hesitate to reach out if the podcast is not on the air. I'm still available to answer any questions that you may have. I appreciate everybody for listening, and I guess we'll see you next time.
Right there.